thinking very big from the worldly point of view. Thus, to be considered spiritual, an act must have far-reaching effects, or must substantially affect an extensive field of life. They are constantly judging the worth of an action by the magnitude of its consequences. Man is ordinarily so immersed in the objects of the gross world that the dimensions, magnitudes, and quantities of the gross world unconsciously creep into his estimate of spiritual worth and pervert his evaluation. All this confusion is due to the fact that man's mind is often dominated by mathematical ideas, even when it is concerned with estimates of a spiritual nature. But that which is spiritually great is different in kind from that which is mathematically great. The mathematical idea of infinity is constructed by imagining the collection of an infinite number of units, each of which has a fixed and identical value or importance. Actually, such mathematical infinity is unreachable even in imagination, because for any imaginable number, we can conceive a number which would be still greater. Each unit is false if it is taken to have separate and exclusive existence or importance. The mathematical idea of infinity thus turns out to be a product of an imagination activated by false assumptions. Spiritual infinity is not a result of imaginative additions of the false. It is reality itself, which is perceived when false imagination is at rest. The infinity of the truth cannot suffer any increase through addition, nor can it suffer any decrease through subtraction. In fact, nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it, because it is all-inclusive and leaves no room for any other great, smaller great. It is immeasurable, indivisible, and integral. Let me just go over to this one on God and the individual. Baba says that God is infinite. He is beyond the opposites of good and bad, right and wrong, virtue and vice, birth and death, pleasures and suffering. Such dual aspects do not belong to God. If we take God as one separate entity, he becomes one term in relational existence. Just as good is the counterpart of bad, God becomes the counterpart of not God, and the infinite comes to be looked upon as the opposite of the finite. When we talk of the infinite and the finite, we are referring to them as two, T-W-O, and the infinite has already become the second part of the duality. But the infinite belongs to the non-dual order of being. If the infinite is looked upon as the counterpart of the finite, it is, strictly speaking, no longer infinite, but a species of the finite, for it stands outside the finite as its opposite and is thus limited. Since the infinite cannot be the second part of the finite, the apparent existence of the finite is false. The infinite alone exists. God cannot be brought down to the domain of duality. There is only one being in reality, and it is the universal soul. The existence of the finite or the limited is only apparent or imaginary. Someone once asked Baba if it would be possible to realize God with the finite. And Baba smilingly replied, "There is no finite."
Let me just turn the fan off a while so we can hot.
All right. The infinity of the truth remains unaffected by any changes in the universe. All that happens in the universe is phenomenal, and as such amounts to zero from the viewpoint of the truth. An earthquake, for example, is regarded as an appalling and disastrous calamity by the worldly minded because of the immense destruction of life and property which it brings. However, even a calamity like this cannot in any way touch the infinite truth which is at the heart of reality. In fact, the spiritual unity, infinity of the truth does not suffer any limitation even if the entire universe is dissolved. Therefore, it is futile to measure it in terms of what is great according to the standards of the world. The illusion which most aspirants find difficult to shake is the belief that infinite truth is an object which has to be attained in some distant future, and that all life is just a means for its attainment. If truth were to be confined only to the future and not to the present or the past, it would not be infinite. It would at once become limited as an event which has its origin in time. All that life is and has is at once deprived of intrinsic significance if it comes to be regarded as merely instrumental to some far-off event. This is definitely a false point of view that truth is an object to be attained in the future. Life is not meant to be rich in spiritual significance at some distant date, but it is so at every moment if the mind is disburdened of illusion. Only through a clear and tranquil mind is the true nature of spiritual infinity grasped as something which is not yet to be, but which already has been, is, and ever will be, an eternal self-fulfillment. How's that for a definition? Wow. Oh, that's heavy, I'm telling you. Life is not meant to be rich in spiritual significance at some distant date, but it is so at every moment if the mind is disburdened of illusion. Baba says in another discourse that eternity is truth which has shed the mask of the mind. Only through a clear and tranquil mind is the true nature of spiritual infinity grasped as something which is not yet to be, but which already has been, is, and ever will be, an eternal self-fulfillment. When every moment is rich with eternal significance, there is neither the lingering clinging to the dead past, nor a longing expectation for the future, but an integral living in the eternal now. Only through such living can the spiritual infinity of the truth be realized in life. It is not right to deprive the present of all importance by subordinating it to an end in the future, for this means the imaginary accumulation of all importance in the imagined future rather than the perception and realization of the true importance of everything that now exists. There cannot be ebb and tide in eternity, no meaningless interval between intermittent harvests, but a fullness of being which cannot suffer impoverishment of a single instant. When life seems to be idle or empty, it is not due to any curtailment of the infinity of the truth, but it is due to one's own lack of capacity to enter into its full possession. Just as it is not right to pile up all spiritual importance for some anticipated future, it is equally not right to arrogate it exclusively to things that create ado. The great and grand things of life are not the only ones surcharged with spiritual meaning. A thing need not be unusual or particularly striking in order to be spiritually significant. The unusual and the striking exist relative to the usual and the habitual, and they are not in themselves necessarily representative of absolute spiritual beauty. Thus, it is not necessary for a man to give huge sums of money for a cause in order to be spiritually great. A poor man may be unable to do this, and yet be nonetheless spiritual if he gives what he can. It is not the amount that endows the gift with spiritual meaning. It is the spirit in which it is given. In fact, a large donation may often be accompanied with pride or some selfish motive, and when it loses its spirit, and then it loses its spiritual value. Even a small gift, given with humility and utterly unselfish love, is endowed with a much greater spiritual value. I recall one time, Ahmednagar, in 1954, when Mayor Bava was giving darshan to several thousand people one afternoon in the Kushru quarters where Adi's office is, a little sort of a slightly raised platform with an overhanging shade had been placed there and a chair on it. And Bava disregarded the chair and sat down on the edge of the platform with his feet on the right on the ground. And people from all walks of life were coming to him to have contact with him, to touch his hand, to put beautiful and sweet-smelling garlands around his neck, or to bring fruit or whatever. And there were old people, young people, lame people, very, very poor people, fairly wealthy people, and even big Sikh warriors, army men, you know, with their turbans and all. And people from, obviously from every religious background in India, and all felt very comfortable to come humbly before Mayor Bava and to have their little brief contact with him. And sometimes even little boys would come and they didn't feel shy, and Bava would have a little fun with them. He'd have a little horseplay with them and generally wind up by putting a garland as a treasure for them to take with them around their neck. But I was very much struck one time when one very little old lady came, and she was obviously very poor, and she reached down after bowing down to Baba's feet. She reached down and put the smallest denomination of an Indian coin, what is it, a five or whatever it is, on his foot, and then she humbly walked away. And this must have touched Baba's heart, because he just stopped everything and sat there looking at it for a long time. And one would imagine that he was going in spirit after this woman with his heart and his love and his blessing. It was like a scene from the New Testament again. Things like that often happened around God. And then he just turned his foot and let it fall on the side there, and then went out with the whole program. But it was an incident that evoked his attention. It wasn't a big or outstanding thing. She didn't come with a lot of money to endow his college or anything of that sort. A tiny little phone, but it evoked precious moments of the avatar of attention and power.
You had a time
that you I think not. That's why he let it slide off his foot after that. Spiritual life is not a matter of quantity, but of inherent quality of living. Spiritual infinity includes in its scope all phases of life. It comprises acts which are great as well as acts which are small. We found this out around Bava. It's great to tell you about the darshan programs and wonderful things that happen, spectacular things, but we also discovered that even the most commonplace, prosaic, ordinary things that we were doing with him or around him were filled with just dripping with significance. Every little thing, even if we played marbles with him or table tennis, or we were just walking along with him, every present moment was just precious and filled with a divine significance, which we were somehow brought into and could experience.